At the time, Margaret Thatcher was in power and the Tories, and they had muted for a long time about trying to close the pit. Everyone knew it wasn't about the pits being uneconomic. It was about Thatcher wanting revenge on the NUM because she felt that the miners had beaten Heath, which had led to collapse of the Tory government in the 70s and the election of a Labour government. In 1983, in November, the NUM decided to have an overtime ban in protest against the proposed closures because already the coal board had been pointing at different pits that they were going to close. And the strike started on the 8th of March in Derbyshire after the coal board had decided that they targeted a pit in Yorkshire, Coughton Wood. They knew the NUM was strong in Yorkshire, and the miners all went on strike in Yorkshire, and that cascaded throughout the country.
And North Derbyshire at the time, Chesterfield, the pit villages around, can you tell me just how integral the mining industry was to society in those neighbourhoods at the time?
Well, at the time there was 10,500 miners in North Derbyshire, and the industries that supplied the pit and provided equipment and what have you, it was a vital part of the economy. And to remove those jobs out of the economy has proved over the last 40 years, those villages have never recovered. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Worksop, that's somewhere where it's never recovered. After 40 years, it's still an area of deprivation. And likewise, throughout the coal field, the pit villages never recovered from the closure. There was no plan to close the pit and replace that with work for those people that had lost the job. And most of the pit villages were communities in themselves, and it was about destroying not only the job and the union, it destroyed those communities. And that was what the strike was about.
Do you feel at the time you knew that all of the next 4 decades, the future of the area really rested on it? Was it crystal clear to you then just how the heart would be ripped out of the local area?
I think it was. And I think that's why the miners were so determined and the people that supported them, because they knew without the pit, without that work, without a future for, youngsters coming up, it would be decimated. And it was. And also the trade union movement, because the NUM was the strongest trade union in this country. And if Thatcher could defeat them, she could defeat the rest of the trade union movement. And again, that's proved to be so because it's taken 40 years for him to get up off the knees.
Okay, so how did you get involved personally, taking this leadership role in a group in Chesterfield?
I was 29 at the time. I'd got two small children. We'd formed a women's action group, we called it WAG, as we were known, to form a women's canvas team to support Tony Benn in the election in 1984. That was the first time he stood in Chesterfield. And we were very successful. We went out canvassing, and he was duly elected at the beginning of March. We wanted to stay together as a group, as a women's group, and the strike in Chesterfield in Derbyshire started on the 8th of March. So we decided our next campaign would be to support the miners. I was a miner's wife myself. There were several others who were married to miners, but there were other women who weren't married to miners who were involved in the group. And the first thing we did we organised the first picket that the Derbyshire miners did was, I think it was the 21st of March at Bolsover Colliery, and we attended that picket and we took food to the picket and we took a leaflet which we gave out to the picket asking them to give them to the wives, the daughters, the girlfriends, the mothers, sisters on one side, and on the other side we listed what benefits that they could claim, because by this time a lot of the miners were really struggling because they'd been on overtime ban since November and now they weren't getting any money at all, so they needed to be aware of what benefits they could claim. So we gave the pickets the leaflet and we arranged a meeting in Duckmonton the following evening, and when we arrived it was packed. It was incredible. From then we each sent women out from Chesterfield centrally, and they all went out to the pit villages and got the women to organise in their own areas, and eventually we were providing food parcels to 34 centres in Derbyshire.
Wow. I mean, how were you able to afford to sort all this food out yourselves? I can't imagine.
Well, at first, it started with a box at the bottom of the stairs in the Labour Club. It ended up with us having juggernauts and van loads of food. We started getting a few donations in from local trade union, and the picket, the lads, the miners themselves, they went all over the country speaking and raising funds. We used to go out raising funds. People donated food. We had massive, massive support from like Southeast region of the TUC, the CERTUC, which was the electricians union, print union, the NGA in Chesterfield, particularly their branch secretary, contacted the regional people in Manchester, and ever after, for twice a week, we had vans coming from Salford, van hire, full of food for the miners.
Wow. How long did the strike go on for? And what brought it to an end in the end?
The strike went on for almost exactly a year. We would have still been on strike now if it hadn't been for the fact that there were working miners, mainly in Nottinghamshire, which split the NUN. The Nottinghamshire miners seemed to believe the coal board that they wouldn't be affected. Of course they were. And had the NUN been united from the beginning, it would have been a lot easier. And the men started drifting back to work after Christmas because it was hard. Have no money for a year, be threatened by the building society or the people that you rent your house off, not being able to pay the electricity, your gas. It was hard.
What was that Christmas like?
To be honest, it was the best Christmas we ever had. The French Union CGT, they sent lorry loads of fabulous toys for the children. And in Chesterfield, what happened in Derbyshire is that they, you know, any donations, food, clothes, toys, whatever, they all came into Chesterfield and were distributed from there throughout the coalfield in Derbyshire. We did everything centrally from Chester. So we sent a message around to all the strike centres and food centres. When the men came to collect the food parcel, we asked them, have you got any kids? How old are they and what sex are they? So we'd got a graph of all the kids in Derbyshire, and every child got an age-appropriate, gender-appropriate toy at Christmas.
That's lovely.
It was a massive undertaking, massive. But we did it.
Sounds it. I'm picking up that it was a time of huge hardship, but do you look back on it fondly in a way as well?
Oh, in some ways, it was the best year of my life. It changed my life. And I think anybody that was involved, I mean, my parents were of a generation, they used to talk as a timeline, if you like. They used to talk about before and after the war. And for anybody that was involved in that strike, it was before and after the strike. That's, you know, become a part of how you see your past history, really. It was really hard. People were suffering, carried that debt for years afterwards. However, the flip side to that was the absolute unity of purpose that we all had. And we made lifelong friends. And it was something that we all shared together during that time, which was unique.
Mm.
It was unique.
And then many years pass. And then what happens? Someone come to you and say, I want to make a film about this, a documentary. Tell me what happened.
Well, last year in Chesterfield, my friend and I, Janet Wilson, because there's not many of us left now, we were both involved and we were talking one day and saying it's 40 years since the strike. And she said, well, we ought to do something. Anyway, we contacted the Unemployed Workers Centre, Colin Hampton, there and said, will you help us? And the result of that, we put on this, and with his help and other people's help, it was magnificent. We put on this exhibition which toured all around Derbyshire, finished in March this year, 40 years of the miners' strike. And I think the filmmaker, Dan, he is only young. He wasn't even born when the strike was up. And he'd seen different films about the strike, but never from the women's perspective. It was always like it might be that it talks about women during different films, but there wasn't anything specifically with just the women that were involved. And he wanted to do something about that, which I saw the film for the first time on Thursday. And I was really pleased because I think it's our history. It's working class history, and it needs to be shared and recorded, because a friend came this afternoon, actually, and she said, we haven't got any recorded history, our history. It's not recorded kings and queens that we learnt at school. You can't see it. You can't get a feel for it. But now we can, and it can be there for future generations to hopefully pass on the message. We just wanted younger generations to know that it's a good thing to stand by your fellow man and to join a trade union and to fight for a common goal, and that we were just ordinary women. And you can do extraordinary things when you've got a purpose